You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yes, sir.
I love this new music. I love these new graphics. Looks like it's a noir film. We're just talking about MMA in the rain and trench coats. Peachy's wearing a potato sack, as usual, whatever that color is. But anyway, what's up, guys? This is Jose Yells at MMAfighting.com here with, what day is this? Friday? Friday. It's a Friday edition of the A-Side Live Chat. I know we're still doing the show 3 days a week now. I know we've had a lot of fighters on in recent weeks, and a lot of you guys have liked that. But I also get a lot of questions asking, when are you going to have fellow media members back on? When are you going to have non-fighters on? You know, just kind of... Just talk about mixed martial arts from a non-fighter's perspective, more specifically, a media member's perspective. So, for this week, we decided to bring back a media member. And, of course, I had to call the homie Ant Walker out in L.A., Casey's Neck of the Woods. First of all, 10 out of 10 hat. Cannot stress that enough. I like Casey's hat, but anytime someone shows up in a white Washington Bullets hat, respect, my man. But anyway, how's life? Last time I saw you, I think, was August in person. Was that for the Anaheim card?
I think so. Yeah, at 241. Yeah, since then, obviously, life has changed quite a bit. Were you a dad yet then? My son will be 4 months old in a few days. So it's been, I think I was stressed about impending fatherhood at the last time we spoke. But yet now I'm a dad. I'm settled into the role a little bit. I'm used to not sleeping, and now I'm quarantined with the young man. You might hear him whining and whatnot in the background, but yeah, love being a dad.
So what you're saying is the years of covering Fox fight nights, specifically FS1 cards, has prepared you for the rigors of being a dad and these long, grinding, grueling nights of staying up, watching these. You know, you remember the days.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, my time as a MMA media member has definitely prepared me for fatherhood. you know, you're dealing with temper tantrums and outbursts. You are dealing with all sorts of just crazy stuff and bodily fluids. And here we go. I'm here. I'm fully prepared. I'm used to not sleeping. I'm used to waking up in the morning and getting to it. So here it is, man. It's a beautiful thing.
PC, we last saw you on Wednesday, and someone in the YouTube comments says, of course it's a potato sack because Pete spelled your name wrong, is Irish. So how's life across the pond in your neck of the woods? I see you're repping. I don't know if that's supposed to be – is that a blue Red Sox hat or is that a throwback Brooklyn Dodgers hat?
Either. I don't really know. Either way, I just got it.
No, this is important. Are you representing New York or are you representing Boston? This is
a Blanchardstown hat. That's where I'm from in Dublin, so that's what I'm doing. And the blue is for Dublin.
That is an acceptable answer.
But, yeah, I'm actually starting exercise. Remember I was telling you last time that I was focusing on thinking about doing exercise? Actually did some. I'm really slow, but I did 5K the other day without stopping. And I shaved 5 minutes off my first time. So I think I can make the Olympics by 2021 based on my curve, you know what I mean? My speed curve. If I drop five minutes four times, I'm going to set a world record. So there you go. That's how I'm feeling about it. So I'm getting busy transitioning from MMA media to being Olympian in not only running, but I've also washed my bike. So I'm going to go for the Tour de France and maybe a gold medal if they have a cycling event in that.
So what you're saying is you're believing, you're seeing, and then you're going to achieve. That's what you're doing. You're pulling the Michael Bisping trajectory out of your hat.
Look, I don't want Bisping coming at me like that. I don't want any left hooks for my aspirations of the Olympiad. But yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. So don't be surprised when you see me on that podium in that beautiful green uniform.
Well, so, Pete, it only counts if you do it with one eye.
That's true. So you got to poke your eye out. So, Casey, we got a new dad. We got a future Olympian, apparently. How's life with you since Friday? Or since Wednesday, I should say.
No, being in the quarantine, it's like there's no good news. It's like you only have bad news to share. So like, since it's just things are going, I don't know. It's just like, you just kind of look at the calendar and go, oh, okay, that's the date.
Right.
That's about it. It's like, oh, it's Friday. That's about as deep as you get, I think, you know, about it's just, I don't know. It's a thing.
What didn't you buy a bag or some sort to work out with? What did you start? Did you upgrade to working your shoulders yet? Here we go.
Go on, Kate.
Those of you just listening.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, those are too heavy.
Yeah, right, bud.
Your face is so red already. Like, okay, first of all, what is that called?
Bulgarian bag.
So that's a Bulgarian bag.
Yeah, 37 pound. Oh, my God. Bulgarian bag. Yeah.
So for those of you just listening, Casey's bought a Bulgarian bag. He went back and he tried to do, I don't know if any of you watched Nico Montano's Instagram. When I see those bags, that's immediately what I think of, because she's doing it on like every Instagram live she does. She does 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
Casey couldn't do one before falling down. Now his face is all red. But
okay, I'm not stretched.
Sure.
That's the big boy one. I have a little boy one there too. So, but I went for the big boy one for effect.
Well, I can confidently say you can probably that half. I'm gonna count that as a half. That's one half more than I. So respect on that. Plus, for those who just listening, Casey's rocking a phenomenal Black Flag shirt.
Yeah, my way.
So much respect. Though he's not wearing a hat. He's the odd man out of this 4-man panel. But of course, this is not our chat. This is your all's chat. You can leave a tweet on our Twitter, hashtag the A-side, or you can just respond to me or PT or Ann or Casey, because that seems to be what all of you guys do now anyways. Or you can leave a comment on MMAfighting.com, find the post that says the A-side live chat, just leave it there and we'll find it. Or you can just make fun of us in the YouTube comment and maybe Casey will throw it up there. He's the director. I don't even know what that says. But of course, Casey, we have questions lined up already. What's our first question from our lovely listeners? Ann, you remember the drill?
Absolutely.
All right, worry. Where are we going? Up here. Here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
From Steve SDW on MMAfighting.com. Rosters. During the Grand Boylan interview on Eurobash, Grand Boylan mentioned that he doesn't expect the UFC and other promotions to make many signings from lower promotions because of the recent pandemic. How do you guys think the pandemic will influence the rosters of MMA promotions in the foreseeable future? For example, will we see less signings? Will fighters be cut from the promotion because the promotion can't offer them the contractual obliged offer of fight? So, Petey, I will start with you because your podcast, Eurobash, you and Young Neil do phenomenal work over on Eurobash. If you haven't listened to this podcast, specifically the one with Grand Boylan, go check it out. Very interesting to hear non-fighter, but specifically more promoter speak on the reason pandemic is always fascinating. But I'll start with you speaking on the Grand Boylan interview. What do you think the pandemic and how do you think this pandemic will influence rosters of MMA promotions in the foreseeable future?
I think he's dead right what he said, and I didn't even think about it. Obviously, we're all thinking about so many things while this is going on. You know, we didn't even think about how the road to the UFC will be obscured for a lot of prospects. But he's dead right. You know, at any given time, the UFC probably have a huge number of injured fighters on the roster that can't fight. By the time they kick back into gear, everybody's going to want to be fighting. And really, I don't see that gap in market for fighters to come through. Even like when they're looking for short notice replacements, all the other fighters are going to be available to go now. So it's not like, oh, let's call this kid and see if he wants to sign. There will be no need to do that. Also, for example, let's use Ireland as the example. Everybody was so excited about 2020 this year because it seemed like we had a conveyor belt of guys that were ready to go to the UFC again. Particularly, Reese McKee was supposed to headline an event in Belfast where he's gonna fight for the Cage Warriors title. When you win the Cage Warriors title, it basically means you're right there. You're knocking on the door of the UFC. Now the Belfast event's been cancelled. The UFC likely won't be able to put on their event in Dublin because Ireland has blocked all major gatherings of 5,000 or more until September. So without that Belfast card, it doesn't give them the spotlight. It doesn't give them the title without the Dublin card, there's no incentive for the UFC to come to this region and sign someone in this area. So I think it's really has obscured the path for a lot of young prospects trying to get through. And I can't imagine, unless they're absolutely forced up against the wall in the situation, I can't imagine there'll be many signings before next year.
And same question. How do you think this pandemic is going to affect the UFC signing prospects? I know a lot of prospects or even former UFC fighters maybe use, as Pete brought up, there's a whole bunch of fighters that get hurt throughout the year, and maybe they need a short notice replacement. Probably not going to happen in the foreseeable future. So I'll say, same question. How is this pandemic going to affect the UFC's roster and signings of prospects and late notice opponents that maybe not technically prospects, but use this as a way to get into the UFC?
Yeah, I'm not seeing that as a good thing for any of those UFC hopefuls trying to get late notice shots. It just doesn't seem like there will be a gap needed to be filled. They've already got 500 something people on roster already. There's a backlog of people who are trying to fight and need the money. And then on top of that, I think the guys coming into the UFC will have a harder time getting deals that are matching their talents. There's going to be a serious drought when it comes to regional MMA, especially as crowds are reduced. Like the UFC is a big enough promotion, and Bellator, they're big enough promotions in one championship, of course, where they can run shows without an audience. But your regional promotions need those ticket sales. They need the ticket sales to make this viable at all. So the alternative for that now is pushing sort of blurring the lines even further between low level and amateur mixed martial arts. And you could have events in closed gyms, but what's the financial incentive for those promoters? And without that financial incentive for the promoters, it won't be there for the fighters. And they have less negotiating power. They're going to be in more of a financial need. They'll be more in need of a showcase. So the UFC and Bellator and all these big promotions will have more than enough leverage to kind of do what they want at that point.
Yeah, it's a similar question we had last episode of Sarah Coffin, where how not specifically signing prospects would be affected, but how this pandemic would affect smaller like promotions like the Titan FCs, the LFAs, the Cage Warriors specifically, that do rely on ticket sales and don't have a deal in place, like a broadcasting deal. So Sarah Coffinson, if I remember correctly, you could set up something, like if they figured a way to stream in a small location, but again, they rely heavily on these ticket sales, especially fighters. We've all been to those fights where people in the undercard, even up to the main events, are selling tickets at their gym and they get like a cut of that. When I remember when Justin Gaethje fought at World Series of Fighting, the entire hometown went because he sold tickets at his gym, and that's how he made a lot of his World Series of Fighting money. So that is going to affect it massively. Casey, did you want to add anything? I saw you pop in.
Yeah, I just think maybe, I don't think the UFC is going to be signing necessarily a bunch of European fighters anytime soon, but I just predict that there's going to be, for the next year at least, there's going to be very few international fights between different countries. The UFC, for American fans, is just going to be American fighters fighting American fighters for the foreseeable future, maybe up to a year. So how would this, maybe PT better answer this, I can see this being a good thing for Cage Warriors in the sense that now the best fighters from Europe aren't going to be taken away to fight in the States. Now they're all going to be fighting in Europe. Is this can this be a positive for European MMA?
I was kind of thinking, if you guys remember when UFC London was canceled, Graham Boylan repurposed a few fighters basically, and I was managed to put on one fight, which was Darren Stewart v Bartosz Fabinski in the main event of that card. I was thinking that maybe Cage Warriors could become the platform for European UFC fighters where they'd be able to play out their contracts on Cage Warriors cards. But I agree with Casey. I feel like that is going to obscure a lot of European fighters, just the travel restrictions alone, just the strain that travel puts on the world at the moment would be an issue. But from what I'm hearing, European fighters have been told that they will be going and fighting if there are cards in the US, which is crazy, really.
Fight Island, baby. It's going to be on Fight Island.
But Fight Island is just international fighters. It's not American fighters fighting, you know, Irish fighters. So
true.
I'm just.
But I feel like if fighters are being told that, there needs to be a situation where the UFC draw a line in the sand, say, okay, we're not bringing international fighters here. And then the options can to start to prop up with the likes of, you know, maybe Cage Warriors hosting some fights and different promotions around the world hosting international fights. But as we've learned over the last month or so, the UFC aren't backing down on anything. Nope. You know, they want to do it in the most extreme way possible, it would seem.
Well, they still haven't done it. UFC has been saying a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
They've been saying a lot.
There's a lot of talk.
Literally nothing's happened yet. So, I mean.
There's a lot of talk. We don't even know, like, we joke about Fight Island. We don't even know where it's going to be, like, location-wise, geographically. So, again, I think hit the nail on the head, Casey. There's a lot of talk, but actions speak louder than words. Supposedly, we're going to Jacksonville in May, but that's not even 100% confirmed by the UFC. That's all like that. Before Casey and I got on, we were like, so you going to Florida? He was like, is it happening? We don't know. So it's a lot of like reports are fights going to happen in Jacksonville. But until the UFC actually says and does something, it's all just debate at this point. It's all hypothetical.
Even then, it's hypothetical.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the fighters actually enter the octagon, it's all hypothetical.
One thing that's interesting is, you know, Dana had made such a big thing about we're going to be the first sport back and stuff. The German Bundesliga, which is huge, their soccer league, that's meant to be kicking off on May 9th as well. But, like, I mean, when you look at the German situation compared to the U.S. situation at the moment, it's very, very different. You know, like, Germany, I believe they closed their borders very quickly. Before a lot of the countries were kind of on it, and my friend is over there now, and he arrived over to work there last month and walked straight into quarantine. Like, Ireland was pretty early kind of telling people to stay at home and stuff, but he was straight into a lockdown situation. He literally got there and had to stay in the apartment he was put in, you know. So interesting though that other leagues around the world seem to be kicking off again, or at least have plans to. With the UFC obviously trying to make these plans happen. But I do feel as though very different situations in the US and Germany.
Hey, man, just inject some Lysol into your body. You'll be clear. You'll be good.
Have you guys done that yet? No? Have you tried?
I tried a little bit ago. I'm not feeling too good, but I think it's just working. It's just like killing all the COVID in me.
I don't feel too good. I think it's working. That's hilarious. Anyway. Enough hypothetical talk. Casey, next question.
Everything's hypothetical.
Everything.
Ah, jeez. Stay positive, Casey. Stay positive.
Thank you for your question. And shout out to Eurobash for the excellent work.
Woo! Thank you, Neil.
From Ice King, it seems to be good. It's not cut off. Ice King, I'm sorry. Yeah. If the UFC champions become fast zombies like World War Z zombies, what contenders would you want to help you fight them? So if every UFC champion became a zombie, like a la zombies like in World War Z, I'm assuming all of you guys have seen the classic zombie thriller starring Brad Pitt, World War Z. If all of the champions in the UFC became a zombie, which contenders in their division would you want to have you help them fight this zombie UFC champion? PT looks absolutely flabbergasted by this. I'll go to my man Ant.
Thank you.
I kind of don't know what to say here, but I'll just say Tony Ferguson for every weight class. Tony Ferguson for every weight class. So he would be a zombie too. If he's a zombie too, we're screwed.
What if it turns out he's
dangerous?
Maybe he is a zombie. We just didn't know it. Maybe like we've been misinformed what zombies look like, and it turns out it's.
Does USADA test for zombie? Is that like a thing? Is this got to be a PED?
Yeah, you get suspended because you're a zombie. Yeah. Wait, did we answer the question?
No,
I don't even know what the question is, lads.
The answer is Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The answer, Francis is just going to just punch everything to death. Also, if you remember in this movie, I don't know if any of you guys have seen this. I was joking about that. Zombies do ignore people who are sick in this movie. So if you have like the cold, they'll just run past you. They want a healthy body.
So Alex Hernandez is safe.
Alex Hernandez. Yikes. Shout out to Mike Heck on What the Heck. If you haven't watched that interview with Alex Hernandez, go watch it. It is
something.
So
God, I hope we get a question about that.
No. Wait, so when Mike does these interviews, I'm directing in the background, so I'm changing cameras, doing that kind of stuff. And like when he was saying this, I'm listening. I'm just like, wait a minute. So he was prepared to fight at 249 with the virus or with the symptoms of the virus. And I was just like,
oh, yeah.
That was wow. Okay. That was all right.
Just bleed, baby. Just bleed.
Yeah, you gotta his be original positive. Opponent is Islam Makhachev, who is probably going to fight him, most likely going to get sick, and then bring it back to Dagestan. This is literally exactly the scenario we were all talking about when this first happened. Like, remember when Jack Gallagher was on? He was like, this isn't – like, we're all living in Orlando. This is someone from America fighting someone from Russia and then going back to where they live. Like, this was the scenario he brought up, and this was almost a reality. It's – again, I don't want to give away too much of the interview if you haven't watched it, but definitely go watch What the Heck with Alexander Hernandez. If you want to watch a UFC fighter getting a massage talking about the coronavirus, it is.
How does the girl giving him the massage, how does the person giving him the massage feel as he's looking into the camera going, yep, guess I have it?
Yeah, right.
I think.
You just see the hands coming away like this.
He's like, oh God, what do I have to do to make $75?
It's like, why is this essential? Like,
what are we doing? My.
We didn't even answer the question, but that's okay. That's true.
Unless the zombie is a good wrestler.
Thank you, Ice King. Cold blood. Germany is already reopening schools, etc. from Suzanne in the YouTube comments. Everything is hypothetical. Should be the title of this episode. No, you're not wrong, Suzanne. Frank, the hypothetical. What do you guys like most about MMA? Huh?
I forget what it actually is. I think it's just this game
right now. What do you like most about mixed martial arts?
I'm a long time martial artist, so I just like the one-on-one competition. I like to see the skills match up against each other. I think MMA is the purest sport that you can have. Fighting, you know, like all sports are metaphors for warfare, and you just skip the metaphor and people just beat each other up. And there you go, you have sports. So yeah, it just makes sense. It's simple. It's direct. It's pure. I like it.
Who was the football player that was like, we're going to war? And then he got like suspended. Kellen Winslow Jr. He went, he had this interview.
Yeah.
He had this interview. He's like, we're going to war. Strap up my guns. We're going to war. And I'm like, and then he said some other crazy stuff and got fined by the NFL. Someone says that in MMA. That's just a Thursday. Like, so yeah. I like all the crazy characters, not crazy characters. I like how when I'm watching baseball, because baseball is my favorite sport. Shout out to the 2018 Boston Red Sox. We did not get our World Series taken away. That is why I'm wearing this hat. There's a lot of players they don't like. There's a lot of players that fellow players don't like. And I'm just like, why don't they just fight? Like, get in a fist fight right now. Can't do that in baseball. You can do that in MMA. That is my favorite. That is my favorite aspect about mixed martial arts. My girlfriend hates it because every time I don't like someone or there's someone bothers me in any sort of public setting, I'm like, I wish I could fight this guy right now. She's like, well, you can't. This is public. If I was mixed martial arts, he was a mixed martial artist. There you go. Those in the octagon can tell our differences. But Pete, I know you like to get in a fight now and then.
Fight myself.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I think the people in the sport are the best thing about it. Like, I mean, they're all great. Like, I mean, the fact that we all found ourselves in this game. You know, there's always a very interesting story for most people that are in it. And like, as Anne said, it's like, it's the most pure thing in the world to go in there half naked, stripped to the waist, and beat the shit out of each other in front of the world. Like, I mean, it's, you're risking everything. You're not just risking your career. You're risking your ego. You're risking your self-image, everything. Like, I mean, it's an unbelievable thing in that respect. How much is riding on these things? Every fight is so important. Might not feel it to people watching at home that tune in and tune out, but they really are. It's like every fight is life and death for these guys, and that's something that's really, really appealing about it. I love it. But right now, as I said, it's very hard to remember what it's all about because it feels like it's just about booking events that don't happen, getting everybody talking about every possible outcome, every possible situation. And I was like, no. It's just it's very strange at the moment. It's a very strange that question's very good because I feel like we haven't asked ourselves that in a very long time, to be honest.
I like to think of – I know every, like the movie Fight Club is very divisive, but I think what was it, Tyler Durden was like, how much are you going to know about yourself if you've never been punched in the face? I love that quote. And for people that have been punched in the face, it's not a pleasant setting. For people that choose to get punched in the face and get paid for it, they are another level of human being to me. Like, I could never do what they do. So I genuinely, I know we talk about all the crazy, like all these crazy things people say and how could you lock yourself in a cage? You want to fight in front of a couple thousand people for less money than you deserve for the love of it? All power to you, because something I couldn't do. But Casey, why do you like MMA? You initially, when you first got into covering mixed martial arts, you weren't the biggest fight fan, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, this was human cockfighting. I'm a unicorn in a sense that I work in this industry and I wasn't a fan of the sport at all. I literally got hired because I knew how to actually do things on camera and edit and stuff. I got hired to do promos for initially. But then once I actually met fighters, met coaches, mm-hmm. It's actually coaches. When I met the coaches, that actually, they're the ones that really made me get a better understanding of the sport. So it was coaches and then really just understanding the storylines and what it takes to get to that point. And especially, not so much now, but maybe a few years ago, it really felt like every single fight, especially a UFC card, every single fight felt like that was a Super Bowl for those two fighters. Even if it was the first fight of the night, it felt like it didn't feel like a regular season baseball game, you know? Like, every fight felt important. And that, just the incredible high stakes for every fight alongside the incredible amount of athleticism, the incredible amount of just dedication, and the incredible amount of just toughness that these men and women have to have to fight at this level was very inspiring when I first got into the sport, for sure. And that's why I like MMA.
And I've seen you at a couple of PWG shows back in the day. Did your love of professional wrestling play into this? It played a little bit in mine because when I was younger, I watched a Pride event. I'm like, oh, this is just professional wrestling, but real fighting. And that kind of got me in the door when I was young. Did that play a factor for you?
Yeah, but it kind of happened the opposite way. So when I was like 8 or 9, I swore that WWF was real. And like, you couldn't tell me otherwise. So when I found out that The Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan weren't like actual fighters, I was just crushed and devastated. And then I started watching boxing with my dad because I knew for sure that they were really hitting each other. And that's what started me into combat sports, you know, without tracing the Ninja Turtles and Bruce Lee lineage into my interest in martial arts. Like, combat sports was because I found out WWF wasn't real and I was heartbroken. So Pernell Whitaker helped ease those wounds for me.
So you're saying you truly believe the Undertaker was an undead lightning wizard come to bury his victims?
I tell you this, when I saw the pallbearer hit Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the back of the head with the urn, I was yelling from the crowd. I was shocked. I was appalled. I was deeply offended, and I thought the Undertaker was a jerk. So yeah, I thought something. I thought the Undertaker was an undead zombie who came to plague us, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan was on the side of righteousness. And I'm still a little upset about that. I'm still a little affected by that. So it took a lot for me to step into PWG, but man, I love PWG though. So
can I see your Hacksaw impression, Ant?
I think I've made a fool of myself already.
You know what's weird though, and like this was the thing that like when because I came to MMA from a different I guess a different path than most fans. I never saw a pro wrestling connection when I first watched it. I never obviously the history of the sport was especially in Japan. Like you can't separate MMA and pro wrestling because it was basically the same thing. But like I was always just shocked. I never saw the connection between them until I really understood the storylines and how a lot of the business, how the UFC sold their product. It's like, oh, okay, now I get the connection. But as far as like, you know, the performances in the ring versus fighting in a cage, I was always like, what? That's like comparing golf and, you know, MMA. Right. I never understood it, but.
Same. Same thing. Completely separate.
I did have them, like, I initially got in because I was a Pride fan really before I was a big UFC fan. I watched UFC, but Pride was my go-to back in the day. And then I really, really started to pay attention to the UFC when Brock Lesnar made his debut. And I know a lot of people kind of like, oh, like, they don't like – I know a lot of people that don't like to admit Brock Lesnar got them into MMA. A lot of my friends that watch MMA were – diehard wrestling fans that only tuned in to watch Brock Lesnar fight in the UFC, and then from that they discovered their love for mixed martial arts. So I know a lot. I know personally that first fight against Frank Mir opened a lot of eyes to a lot of my close friends into mixed martial arts.
And does anybody remember like that weird period, like right after UFC 1 and 2, where there started to be a bunch of like up and coming MMA promotions, but some of them were scripted fights? It was really bizarre. I mean, I remember Sugar Ray Leonard had one, and it was it was so strange, man. I had the black box cable so I could, you know, get all the descrambled pay-per-views or whatever. And one of them was for, I can't even remember the name of this company, but they had pro wrestling type characters, but they were billing it as they were really fighting. So they tried to have the storylines. They tried to have them cutting promos and all that, but they were like these exotic martial arts styles. And I remember there was
exactly what you were talking about, and I cannot remember. And they all were like a different ethnicity.
Yeah.
Or like they were like women. They all wore like one guy wore red every single week, and then another one wore blue every single week. I know exactly what you're talking about.
There was Power Rangers, the drill sergeant, and the drill sergeant was one of them. There was a guy named Mozart who created a martial art called Mozart. There was another guy named the Mongolian that had like the long like ponytail, the long braided ponytail. And I remember like he fought this little kung fu guy who did this jumping spin kick and bust his mouth open. And then he tried it again. The Mongolian just picked him up and just slammed him down and just started beating the shit out of him. So, yeah, that was fun.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't say it.
Did not the Japanese MMA have a similar kind of passage into becoming a big thing? It kind of had the pro wrestlers come over and there'd be different works or whatever they're called. I don't really know anything about pro wrestling, but I know I've read that before, that they kind of had those mixed events in the early years of Japanese MMA where there would be some kind of choreographed fights among real fights. Is that right?
Yeah. I forget the organizations, but there are much better historians out there that know a lot about that those years, like the early 90s, a lot in Japan. But man, I gotta find them. I haven't like looked at them in a while, but man, some of those fake fights, dude, they look so real.
they look so real.
It's not wrestling moves. They're throwing punches and doing like a lot of kicks and everything. It's really interesting.
But I'm sure our own Dave Meltzer would know.
Meltzer would know a lot more.
My parents didn't even give me that like time of pro wrestling. I can remember like watching wrestling when I was 3, and my dad was like, "Yeah, that's bullshit. They're not fighting." Thanks.
From Darren, oh God, Darren the Fapper Till. There's no way I'm skipping that name.
What's a fopper?
Oh, okay. No, that's okay, Pete.
Do I Google that now?
No, definitely do not Google that.
We'll show you off air.
From this.
No, no, it isn't. Sorry.
From this YouTube comment that I just said.
Oh, wow.
Is any media member actually going to 249, or are you covering it over the internet? Casey and I were talking about that before we all got on air. We don't even know if media members are going. I know the rumor is, again, it's all hypothetical because the rumor is it's taking place in Jacksonville. The rumor is it's going to be Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson. And the rumor is Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. But until I get official word, we don't know. If it's in Florida, I imagine we would go. I can't imagine we wouldn't go. I know we've talked about this on a past episode that I know we'd all be in agreement. It's our responsibility to go cover it because all these questions we have, we can only get the answers when if we're going there and asking the right questions. Like all of these hypothetical scenarios we have to be there to find out the answers. And yes, it would not be the smartest thing to go. It's definitely dangerous to go. Especially Florida.
Can I ask one question? You know, already, and you can already see it from the way people are asking us questions. Like, people fully believe this is going ahead on May 9th. Like, there's like, they're not even considering the situation the world is in at the moment. They're like, so what are you going to do when this happens? Well, what happens if, which is kind of like, it's definitely a possibility, this event gets pulled on the week of the fight again? Like, I mean, what happens to the UFC then? Like, I mean, are they going to be able to spin this into the MMA media stopped the event? I doubt it. Like, I mean, you can't keep going back to that. Like, what happens? Who ends up with egg on their face this time? Like, I mean, does the UFC get bitten because of it? Because they've got all these fighters, fans, all these hopes up that it's going to happen, and then it gets taken away again. I mean, I feel like, you know, that's a huge possibility that happens. And at what point do the fans get pissed that they keep on advertising these things that don't happen?
It's an interesting question. I would imagine they're still going to blame the media because it's always the media's fault.
That's true.
But it's an interesting question. How many times can this hypothetical UFC 249 be canceled before fight fans just get fed up? I think at this point, they're just so desperate for a fight, they want to believe, and when it falls apart, they lash out at the person that Dana White points at, and that happened to be the media. Because I know Casey brought it up on a past episode when Habib fell out. We all remember we posted a poll like, what should the UFC do? Like, book a title fight, like book the rematch, or book like wait and cancel this, book the interim fight against Justin Gaethje. Or like when we gave another example, and all of the like the vast majority was like postpone the event. When Habib fell the first time,
75% of the respondents said just postpone. Yeah.
Yes, and then as soon as they say, "Oh, Justin Gaethje is going to fight Tony Ferguson," people are like, "Yes, fights!" And then that gets canceled. Everyone's like, "Boo, the media." So that was in the span of what, like 5 days? So in 5 days, we saw a shift from postpone the event to why did the MMA media get the UFC to postpone the event? I don't even want to think what they're going to do if this happens again.
I feel like the appetite is huge now, though, because I'm having people who probably watch Conor fights, nothing else, text me going, this is really happening on May 9th, right? Like, oh, we got something to watch live, you know, something we're all watching together. Like, that's the whole thing here. Like, people just want to watch a live sport together with the world watching, you know? And I just feel like it's going to be, you know, if this happens, which is, again, quite a possibility in this situation, like, there's going to be a huge kind of reaction to that. And I wonder what direction it's going to go in.
And you've watched a lot of the stuff going on Instagram Live, right? Like the rap battles.
Right,
and
yeah.
Did you watch Horse and everything too? Like the NBA players playing Horse?
I couldn't bring myself to watch Horse. I've watched the DJ battles. I watched Teddy Riley and Babyface on. But I wasn't watching Horse. Like, no.
Well, what's Horse, lads?
It's a game.
Basketball game.
It's a game in basketball where, like, if you make a shot, you're the person you're playing has to make the same shot, and if they miss, they get a letter in Horse, so they would get an H. So like if Anthony does a 360 windmill through the legs dunk and you can't do that, then you would get an H, which I imagine you can do it, so you would have nothing to worry about.
I do it all the time.
Right.
Not as
I don't
good
even
as
think
me.
You know the words I said. But,
let's play horse.
Right. People are desperate to watch it.
The closest thing we've got to like a live sport feel for me was like The Last Dance, with everyone talking about that online. Like, as in, it was all everyone reacting to that at one time.
It was a big one, and like yesterday the draft blew up. Like, the NFL draft happened last night. I know Casey thinks it's super boring. I like the first round. Yesterday was weird because it wasn't in the giant auditorium with all the like the war rooms and everything, but it felt for like a good couple hours that everyone online was talking about the NFL again.
And I didn't even know that happened.
They weren't acting like, oh, the NFL is postponed right now. It's like, it just felt like a normal draft. Like, it obviously wasn't normal, but it felt good. I can honestly say it felt good to, like, when the Packers drafted a quarterback and all my people I follow that are Packers pundits were, like, talking about it. I go, oh, yeah, there is a pandemic going on. This guy's probably not going to play this season. But it did feel good to mentally check out from what's happening in the world and think about the NFL again.
You know, yeah. I mean, people are so starved for content at this point. I mean, like, they're watching. People have been hyped about Tiger King, just the idiocy of that. They've been hyped about.
Thank you, Anthony. Finally, someone agrees with me.
Oh, it's dumb. I mean, I watched it. I was so into it, but it's completely stupid.
No one's saying
stupid.
It's Hoi Brow. No one's saying it's Hoi Brow.
I'm not proud of it, but you know what I'm saying. But it was dope. So like, people watching that, they're watching these Instagram live battles and watching Tory Lanez act a fool on his Instagram live. They're watching anything, and they're watching the coronavirus daily briefings as if it was some sporting event. Like, people just want to watch something and cheer and boo at something, anything. So when you have an actual sport like MMA trying to push along, yes, they're going to be on board, because at the very least, man, people are just bored and starved for regular life. And that's at least a sliver of regular life, even if it doesn't make sense to go forward with it right now.
And there is that disconnect, right? Like, when it's not happening in your living room, when it's not happening right in front of your eyes, you don't really see the danger of these guys fighting each other, right? Like, I mean, it feels the people, they feel very separated from it, I guess.
Right. I mean, they don't understand the normal consequences of the fights themselves in a non-pandemic
world. Yeah, that's very true. Jesus, that's very true.
You know, all the times we've seen, you know, we've seen people get booed and trolled online because they didn't go out and stick their chin up and just start swinging wildly for 15 straight minutes. So I wouldn't expect any level of compassion or forethought about anything other than just their pure amusement, because that's all they cared about in the first place.
That's nail on the head there. I didn't even think of that. That's a great show. It's so true.
And this is why we bring Anthony on, to have some intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
One of the rare times people look to me for that.
Yeah. They're definitely not getting that out of me, Anthony. Don't worry.
I do see that nonsense Deadpool bus in the background, though, so you don't get a pass 100%.
I was a gift from my wife.
Oh! So
I will tell her. That you said that, and you'll have to deal with her. So good luck to you, Jose.
Tell her to get you a real superhero bus. Anyway,
Punisher's my favorite, but you can't see the action figure.
He's all right.
Yeah, but
all right.
but back to the original question about actually the media actually covering it. We actually I forgot the question where the question is, but we don't even know if media is going to be allowed to cover it. If they are, is that how?
Apparently not.
Huh? Is that they already
apparently
said?
Apparently not.
Apparently, yeah. So like, yeah, we're like, that's, I mean, if I had the option, I live in Inglewood, so I have to fly across country, which is, that's probably the most dangerous part, is the flight and catching the virus via through the flight. But like, just as a journalist, and like, it's like, I just hate the idea. Like, I might go through this whole quarantine and not be able to see that. My experience of the quarantine will be just basically in my house, which it is for 99% of people. It's just so, I'm hoping just on almost a bit of a selfishness that I can go, just so I can experience what it was outside of my home for the quarantine. So, but I highly doubt
it. I imagine it would be a big, like, California, where you and Anthony are, has probably dealt with this pandemic the best of all the states. Florida's probably dealt with it one of the worst. So it would be a drastic transition for you guys if you went to go from a state that shut down a lot of cities quickly. A lot of people said premature. In hindsight, it was 100% the right thing to do. Florida is now opening businesses, professional wrestling as an essential sport. So you're going from a state that handled it phenomenal to a state that's not even handling it, like, period. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I kind of think that the for me, I'd have to know what those safety protocols were before leaving. You know, I would just have to know something. I couldn't just blindly jump on the plane and say, all right, I'm on the way to Florida, I'm going to cover this fight. Like, I feel as though it would be my professional duty to do so if offered the opportunity to do it in person. But I've got a baby son to be more concerned about.
I was going
to
ask, has becoming a dad changed how you now approach that? Like, if now that we're... I imagine before you had your child, you would be like, yeah, let's go to Florida.
Absolutely, man. Like, I would joke about this a lot when talking to friends and family and to my wife. Like, single me without a son, without any offspring, like, would just be on some other shit. Just totally on another wavelength. Like, right now, if I were living through this pandemic right now, and I used in the room I used to rent when I lived in Long Beach and all that stuff, what I would end up doing right now is either one, sitting in my room with a big handle of Jim Beam, which I actually have right now anyway, and playing video games, or I would end up calling like Oscar. Who, you know, Oscar Willis from Mac Life, who's like one of my best friends, lives in Vegas, and he's stuck in his house by himself. I'm like, hey, I'll drive over there. We'll just hang out and play video games and drink together. Like, I would do something completely reckless like that because whatever, it's just me. But when you got a little one that's looking at you, wondering where his next meal is coming from, and just wants you to pick him up and smile at you and change his diaper, like, you know, priorities get straightened out. And as much as I love mixed martial arts, I love my son, I love my wife more. So I would have to know what the safety protocols were before I just stepped on that plane, because if it's just like, hey, trust us when you get here. No, I don't trust that. I need to know, is there some sort of quarantine set up in case I start having some symptoms? Am I going to get testing even though I might be asymptomatic? Like, I need to know something. And I do, as much as I respect professional duty, I think duty to family trumps that. You know, and granted, maybe because my full-time job is not mixed martial arts media. You know, it's a side hustle for me right now. So maybe that alters the perspective, because I do have a paycheck coming in that is not related to the fight world. So I don't have the financial pressure. But when it comes to pressure of duty, family number one, man. I love MMA, but not like I love my little man. So he's number one.
Oh, yeah. If I lived with someone that, you know, that was high risk, I live, you know, like a child or like a sick grandmother, no, I would be off the list. I mean, I just would say no, but I'm in a fortunate situation where I have no children, no, Esther's not pregnant or anything crazy like that, that where I could, I would want to do it. But because well, like I said, like when Joe Lowe's on, I want to see how they're doing. I want to see how the testing is done. I want to see what company they bought the test from. I want to see what procedures they're doing. Because they can say all this stuff, like you said, well, we're going to throw all the fights.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want to see it. I want to record. I want to document. I want to show people what's actually going on. So.
Yeah, I think our episode with Joe Lozon was eye-opening too, where he's not even a fighter. He's a coach. So he would have to go with one of his fighters to the fight. But he's like, my wife is like an ER nurse. So like, I have to think, like, if I get it and then she gets it and then she goes to the hospital – like, he's thinking about all this stuff that he's not even fighting. He's not thinking, like, if I get it, that's fine. But if I give it to her, she passes it on to, like, all these sick people. It's eye-opening. It's an eye-opening time. You think about a lot of things that you wouldn't think of if this wasn't going on. But well said, Anthony. Very well said. And do you know how flexible PT is? From Angie in the YouTube comments.
No, but I'd love for him to show me.
So well, this is a ritual. This is a ritual for all of our new guests.
All right.
People that are listening and watching, making excuses already. I see.
All right, hang on. Hang on there.
Are you going to do the Simone Biles thing where you, like, take your pants off without using your hands?
I'm just going to show you what a supreme athlete I am. That's all. Hang on. I bet I might not do it this time. Hang on. Yes! Just about. Did you hear that crack?
Oh my God. One of the most
painful ones.
Should have took I think I pulled off. My groin watching that.
Oh.
Now, what people know this. People that watch and listen to this. Yes, round of applause.
I do it for you. I do it for all of you people. We'll fight this thing together.
This has become a narrative. Every time there's a new guest on, they get to see Pizza do that. And then they get told the same story that all of our listeners and watchers hear. In the middle of UFC 246, UFC 246 Media Day, Pizza walks up to me. Middle of Media Day, and you've been to UFC Media Days. Middle of media day, he walked up to me and goes, "Do you know I'm the most flexible person in this room?" And I go, "Huh?" And he goes, "Watch this." And he does that on the floor, surrounded by media people.
Wow. Did they get the cue back or just that day?
There are a few UFC staff members whose faces I'd love to see when they watch that happen.
So he did that. He did that and then went and interviewed Anthony Pettis. So we were reading a line to be Anthony Pettis that he did that. So
next week, you got to do the Showtime kick.
If any of our listeners or viewers bump into Pete Carroll in the wild, ask him to do that. It's quite the sight.
No problem.
From Trumbo on the site, I know we all want to talk about this. It's only a matter of time. Woodley versus Adesanya. I'm going to say Adesanya versus Woodley. Champion gets top billing. Would this fight look like Romero versus Izzy? Again, Izzy versus Romero. Champion gets top billing, dorks. Tyron is very patient and waits for his moments to explode. He does not come forward much and doesn't bite on fates much. Woodley has fought Wonderboy twice and is well-schooled and tricky karate/kickboxers. Am I crazy to think Woodley would have a shot here? Not that this fight would actually ever happen. And I'm going to start with you because we were tweeting about it a little bit. We're going to use this question to kind of catapult into what's been going on online right now. You have been a longtime defender of Tyron Woodley. You like to call yourself as one of the few people that, and this is your words, one of the few people that enjoyed Woodley versus Thompson too, in Anaheim, if I'm not mistaken.
I wasn't alive at that one. I was at the Maya fight in Anaheim.
That was the Maya.
Enjoy that one actually too. I did.
The Anaheim one was Maya. UFC 209 was the rematch in Vegas against Woodley. Another ill-fated Habib Tony card, but that is another conversation. What do you make of all of a sudden this war of words between Tyron Woodley, Israel Adesanya, Kamaru Usman, and Dan Hooker is throwing his name into this. So as a longtime defender of Tyron Woodley, what do you make of what is going on online?
Oh, man, I am definitely I would describe myself as a Tyron Woodley apologist. I can't support this in any way, shape, or form. This trash talk between all three of them is just, it's just so terrible. It's so terrible. And Tyron is getting eviscerated right now. In the battle of words, like that bomb that Dan Hooker dropped on him last night, we said, like, I thought you knew your rap career was a joke. Like, mic drop, it's over. Like, just Tyron needs to block Dan Hooker on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? He needs to just take a week long hiatus and just come back and just talk about something totally different. I think right now Tyron Woodley is feeling the pressure of not having competed for so long. And the last time we saw him, he was getting completely dominated by Kamaru Usman. And it happened in such an unfortunate time for him because it seemed to be right when fan sentiment was turning in his favor. You know, he spent his entire reign as a champion being like the most hated champion in the UFC. Whether it was the second Thompson fight, whether it was the Maya fight, whether it was the injury layoff or when he tore his shoulder, or him calling out Nick and Nate Diaz and GSP and all that. There was always a reason for a lot of fans to dislike Tyron Woodley, you know, but when he was winning, kind of didn't matter because he was still champion. The UFC still had to deal with him. He still would earn top money. Now without that, and our last image of him was getting dominated in one of the most lopsided fights in UFC title history. You've got to feel that pressure now. He lost on that Leon Edwards fight because of what's going on in the world. And, you know, he's not getting any younger. I think this is a ploy to get attention and keep his name relevant until he gets booked again.
Now, PT, in case I do want your thoughts on this, but I'm going to ask Ant this because we are running short on time. You can answer this, obviously, much better than we can. What do you make of the direction all of a sudden this war of words has gone, where Tyron Woodley calls Israel Adesanya the great white hope? And he also says, you know who to call to make this fight. He's the one that owns the whip you respond to.
Yeah.
What was that?
A motorcycle drove past my window.
Lord. I thought someone had a sound effect. Like, we're like, who had the motorcycle? What is the motorcycle sound effect?
Oh, shit, me some.
I was like, what did I press?
I'll say those. I definitely was not a fan of those comments by Tyron, and I don't want to speak for him too much in this scenario because I can't exactly say what was on his mind at that moment. But I'll say what I suspect, and I suspect because Adesanya has gotten a lot more mainstream appeal, that it kind of takes away from the street cred in his eyes, maybe. And I don't think that's a fair thing at all. But that's probably how Tyron sees that. And that would lead to comments like that. I mean, Adesanya has been, maybe he's been more the company man than Woodley was his champion, with his frequency and activity since emerging on the scene as a title challenger and becoming a star. Maybe he has a better relationship with Dana White and the UFC brass. Like, and the promotion has definitely done a much better job of pushing him than they did Tyron as champion by far. And maybe that's what he's seeing. But I can't say that I'm comfortable at all with invoking any sort of slavery imagery in this whole scenario, and especially given Woodley's very very vocal criticisms about the UFC's promotion of him as an African-American champion. I just don't see the correlation there. I just don't see how those things are relevant. I don't see how that's fair at all to Adesanya. But quite frankly, man, it's not for Woodley. I doubt it's about being fair. I think it's just about keeping your name in the headlines and trying to get out there and gunning for some sort of big fight. This was the same Woodley that was talking ahead of the Usman fight. And I know we were there covering this. I definitely talked to Tyron at that fight week where he was dead set on fighting Robert Whittaker, who was then middleweight champion. So he's had aspirations for middleweight before. And this is just, I guess, another road to get there, albeit however disturbing it may be to me.
PC, what do you make of what's happening online between Israel Adesanya and Hooker, Usman, and Adesanya?
You know, I just feel like the real tragedy of this all is Leon Edwards was the fight for Tyron Woodley. It was a perfect fight in terms of matchmaking. And now Leon is coming away with nothing. We haven't heard anything from him, and he seems to be completely removed from that conversation. I mean, in the direct aftermath of Leon falling apart with Tyron, Tyron was on ESPN talking about how all these guys are fake and how he needs to go and sort out all these clowns because the whole fight game has been changed by the likes of Colby Covington and all these guys not being real. I think Leon's the realest guy out there, out of everyone. I mean, he's never changed his tune. He's never jeopardized who he is to sell a fight. He is the guy that Tyron Woodley is referring to as being a real fighter, and yet he is rewarding this other behavior, the Colby Covington situation, the fake people, so to speak, that he's talking about. I feel like he's rewarding them by going after those fights, and therefore he's feeding into that culture. If he wants the real guys to fight the real guys, he should fight Leon Edwards. That's what I feel.
Casey, I'll ask you, as someone who's trains mixed martial arts and has covered these fighters extensively, to answer the actual question, would Woodley, Adesanya v. Woodley, just be Adesanya v. Romero part two?
Not the same, but it's Woodley being definitely a counter striker. No, not a combo, not really a combination puncher, just kind of waiting for that one shot. So, yeah, there are definitely Romero similarities. But yeah, of course he has a shot. He punches hard. He's going to be a smaller guy, shorter guy. I think, you know, Izzy beats him. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. I just think it's whole, I think the whole trash talk during a quarantine pandemic, especially over international borders, is just silly and desperate, unfortunately, to say. You know, I feel very bad for Tyron Woodley because, according to, I think Ariel Helwani reported that the most the fighters received from UFC London card was only 20,000. So I'm sure Woodley put a whole camp in there. He trains. Is he still training up in Wisconsin, Woodley?
I had no idea.
Didn't he go to TriStar for a little bit?
Either way, Woodley. I'm sure Woodley's camp is expensive, and I'm sure he just literally just got. He just, you know, he doesn't see any money coming in. And when he was champ, he may have been living off a certain lifestyle. I don't know.
He was also on Ariel's show, and he said he kind of fell into that. Like, he bought a bunch of houses, bought a bunch of cars, and now he's not fighting anymore. He's fighting to get back to that.
So imagine if he has a bunch of houses that he's expecting to make income off these properties. Ain't no one making money right now, unless you're selling hand sanitizer or you're a gaming company. You ain't making money right now. Like people will say, like, see, oh, the media is making a bunch of money because people are watching like these podcasts and stuff. But these podcasts are paid for with advertisers. But if no one's buying the advertiser stuff, they're not advertising. So, like, even though our site, CNN, ESPN may be getting good traffic numbers, they're not getting advertising money. So everything just sucks for everything, money wise. And a guy like Tyron Woodley, for the last 3 or 4 years, he's been living off championship money. Everyone knows how much less money you get as a non-champion. And then he just loses that Leon Edwards fight, only makes 20 grand, supposedly. Yeah, he looks I get it, it sucks. It just sucks. It sucks for everyone, sucks for Tyron Woodley. The only one who seems to be having fun in this whole situation is Izzy. I think Izzy's kind of good money-wise. Izzy just made a big paycheck. And I thought Izzy actually had the best tweet of this entire pandemic when he retweeted a MacLife article about Chael Sonnen talking crap about it was a John Jones thing. And he just said, argue about this. Just argue about it.
Yeah.
Because Izzy gets it. He's like, I'm not fighting anyway. By the time he comes back, people are going to be talking lots of crap, you know, and then he just, cool, big money fight for him. So, this is dumb.
He can't put a foot wrong, is he, man? He really can't.
Yeah.
He's doing great. I do feel bad for Leon Edwards, though.
Of course.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's
for real.
It's a joke. It's a, I mean, that was a perfect fight, you know, in the sense of, here's this guy. He needs to fight a bona fide, a champion, a guy who's proven himself time and time again. That's Tyron Woodley. The fight was savage. Like, I couldn't wait for that fight. And now Leon's not even in the conversation. Like, he's the nowhere man of welterweight, basically, again. And it's like, how does this, like, it's not even like there's a quick fix where, oh, if Tyron starts talking about Leon again, maybe they'll make the fight happen. No, he's across the, this is a border there. You know, like he can't, we don't even know if he can get over there. You know, it's, I'm sick for him. I'm sick for Leon Edwards, honestly.
Well, running up on time, I do want to mention that our own Damon Martin said, in a separate chat we have, that the UFC 249 card is most likely going to be announced, 3 events in a week separate. And he added, all 3 shows will be in Florida. Governor DeSantis has signed off, and the Florida Commission will oversee all 3 shows. So that is from our own Damon Martin right now. Huh. So looks like these events are going on in Florida.
So is my original theory correct that Fight Island is really just Key West?
Might be.
Okay,
see all the questions we got?
Yeah, let's do we got a few of them. Let's do rapid fire. Hold on.
I'm the best at rap before. Wait, you see me do this, Ant. I'm really good at it.
Cruz versus Triple C.
Come on, thanks for this.
How many times do I have to tell you people? Champion get top billing. Triple C versus Cruz. Dear God, who do you favor in Triple C versus Cruz? Thank you. You got it wrong in the headline. I think Cruz with his style and awkwardness is super difficult. This and that, this and that. Do you think Triple C can beat him? If Cruz wins, does that change who gets the next title shot? Henry wanted Aldo, big name. Cruz basically has always just fought the next guy up. Is it better for the division if Cruz will win? Yes or no? Is Cruz winning better for the Bantamweight division, PC? Quickly.
No.
And is Cruz winning better for the UFC Bantamweight division?
No, he shouldn't get the shot in the first place.
Ooh. Peter, yeah.
Hey.
Let's go.
Yeah, Cruz will win, but he shouldn't get the title shot.
I agree. It's not, I don't think if it's better or worse, but he shouldn't be getting the title shot anyway. As PT will probably say, it's just Peter Yan's division where they're just living in it.
Yes. Aljo or Yan are the only guys that should be fighting for that title.
Oh, so we had a little technical difficulty. I was muted, so only you guys can hear me, but our wonderful fans out in the world cannot hear me. But we're back on. We're working now. So, yeah, I said some interesting things, but you'll never know now.
Wow. Dear Lord. Any other rapid-fire questions?
How do you clean these hats? On a serious question.
Focus, PC.
From Eugene C. Holly, keep in mind, this is all capitalized and with like five or six question marks, so he's screaming this. What are the three greatest women's MMA fights to rewatch during the lockdown? Pizzi, three greatest women.
Yamaguchi v. Angela Lee, Wiley Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and I personally like Joanna v. Jessica Penne. It's a bloodbath. Fantastic.
Go ahead. And biggest, best women's MMA fights to rewatch.
I say Wiley versus Joanna. Joanna versus Gadelha 2, and Misha Tate versus Kat Zingano.
Big fan of Misha Tate versus Julie Kedzie in Strikeforce, I believe. I think that's a super underrated women's MMA fight. What was the crazy Invicta fight we talked about a couple weeks ago with Elias?
I forget their names because they both have very European names.
You were so good at pronouncing them the first time, though.
I know.
I cannot think of it. That fight is insane. Yeah, those two. And then everything else, PZ and
Misha Tate and Holly Holmes, good fight as well.
Misha Tate, Holly Holmes is a phenomenal fight.
Very good fight, yeah.
My fights, I would actually recommend watching Holly Holm Ronda. Still just an amazing fight to watch. And the fight that we haven't mentioned at all, Invicta Championship fight between Jessica Penne and Michelle Waterson for the atomweight title.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Forgot about that fight.
Let me see if we got any more questions from the Esther Lynn.
Favorite podcast? Song Exploder.
Weird way to spell Eurobash.
The S is silent.
Eurobash is one word. It doesn't have song or exploder in the name.
We're done.
All right, we're done. Thank you so much for joining in. Sorry we started 10 minutes late. I saw a lot of you guys tweeting at me, where's the A side, this and that. We were chatting before we got on. We haven't seen Ann in a long time. We were catching up a little bit. Shout out to PTN's Crystal. But of course, you know the drill. You are the guest of honor this week. The floor is yours to cut a promo on anything you want.
All right. So, of course, y'all know I'm a big hip-hop head. I'm going to put you on to...
I don't know. You like Joe Budden, so I'm going to put that on
blast. Joe Budden is one of the best lyricists of all time. We will have this debate off air. So, there's a man by the name of Stove God Cooks, who is a protege of Rock Marciano. And you talk about the most beautifully ignorant cocaine-influenced rap music. That is it. I can't be woke all the time. Sometimes I just want to hear some ignorant coke rap. So therefore, Stove God Cooks. He just dropped a banger of an album. Also, check out anything Griselda Records is doing. West Side Gun just dropped a banger called Pray for Paris. Yes, a lot of beautiful hip-hop coming out. Please check it out.
I do want to ask you one thing before I go off air. Did you listen to the new Jay Electronica album?
Yes, I did.
Did you agree with me that it is basically just a Jay-Z mixtape with a little bit of Jay Electronica on it?
That is exactly what I said. So me and the homie Matt Hunter from Mixed Combat Radio have a new show called Nothing New, where the first episode we talked about that at length. I love Jay Electronica as a lyricist. Obviously love Jay-Z, but man, that is not the album I wanted.
That is, in my opinion, the most disappointing debut album in the history of my life, considering I've been waiting for that album for about 10 years. Also, yeah. Do you know who Immortal Technique is? Of course.
Yes, I do.
He is Casey, Pizzi, you, was it you guys that didn't listen to Immortal Technique, right?
I missed a little bit.
Is he not the perfect person to listen to when you're sad and depressed that Habib Ferguson has fallen off for the fifth time?
I would, if I'm sad and depressed, Joe Budden.
No, man. Immortal Technique can make you sad about for a week.
Check out the mood music
on my podcast.
Stick on that. Stick.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.